sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks. Hello everyone, it's Connor here. Thank you for tuning into the SAFcast. Today's guest is Sean O'Neill, who is a goalkeeper for Crusaders, and he is also a former Antrim player and a current Davids club player as well. So enjoy the show.
Well, Sean, how's things with you anyway?
All good, yeah. I mean, I'm on a wee bit of a break at the minute with sport, so it's nice to just to get a wee bit of relaxation in and just kind of take a wee break away from things.
Yeah, so the... So the Irish League at the minute is taking a break, isn't it, for a couple of weeks anyway of fixtures?
Yeah, 2 week break, just a wee circuit breaker. I think it was needed, to be fair, and then just kind of back in things. But things going again next Monday, training wise. But you know yourself, when you get a wee break, even with in the Gaelic, is what you're still doing your own stuff, trying to keep yourself over. So it's a bit of It's good in times, but at the same time, having to go out in road runs in a night are difficult.
I know. It makes a clear difference from, say, running about the pitch of that there. At least there's somebody kick a football at you or something. Do you know what I mean?
True.
Good big difference. But thanks for joining me today. And look, I think in terms of kind of what you know in your career with Crusaders and that there that you're playing at the moment, but kind of wanted to just talk a bit about kind of your time with Antrim, obviously involvement with the senior team, and actually just to start off, I think the minor team of 2006, so like that there was an Antrim team, I think they hadn't won a championship match since, I was reading earlier there, since 98, so whatever that was, 8 years or something like that there, I was reading. And that run, obviously, the Antrim Miners went on getting to the Ulster final, playing the quarter final as well. Yeah, that was some squad that was there and that there, and obviously end up in an Ulster final in Croke Park.
Yeah, that whole year, I mean, I always say that anything I do, 2006 just made me actually love Gaelic. Before, I was probably took Gaelic for granted a wee bit, but that year we had Seamus O'Prey, Mickey Boyle and Cab McGuinness were the management side there, and they were just, honestly, it got to a point where you would have run through walls for them, man. You really would have. And it wasn't littered with superstars. The team, you know, CJ was probably, Conor McGordy was probably the standout player then, but it was just boys who really worked their knackers off for each other, really did, like, and just started off well and just kind of got better and better. And, you know, as you say, went to an Ulster final against Donegal, which was great. But I always think about the game, the semi-final. I always loved the game at Clonus against Armagh. It was just, Clonus was built that day, 30,000 at it, and Armagh were playing the senior game after it, so they all came.
Yeah.
They all for the minor game, and it just, the whole stadium were against us, and it was brilliant getting that day. I was honestly, it's a game I always look back on and think, geez, I wish I could relive that. Like,
yeah, it's funny just when you mention that, I always think of the ones who talked about. Do you remember? It might have been 2010. Was it Antrim Hurlers beat Dublin in Croke Park? But the Dublin footballers were playing afterwards. So a load of Dublin ones were in, like, giving them dogs abuse, like, and then when I think whenever Antrim beat them, they were giving dogs abuse back at them. Like, it just sort of reminds me of that there.
I can remember walking off the pitch, and it was nice because people actually give us a round of applause. The Armagh scores give us a round of applause going off the pitch.
Right.
And I remember we were right up in the corner. We were changing away from kind of where the seniors would change. But I was just, even though the game was a real kind of do or die, you know, to get over the line. After the game, you know, to get an applause off the pitch was nice. And I think the team kind of gelled as the gallery even more that game.
Yeah, because actually that game and then the game was at Fermanagh before that, both were 1 point wins, isn't that right? So even just scraping through games like that, like, galvanizes a squad even more probably.
Yeah. Well, the Fermanagh game, the Fermanagh game was the conditions were horrendous, and I'm sure that the neutral wasn't looking at that going to display of football ability. But it was just a torrid day, and I think we just need, like you say, the we were reminded before the game and that, you know, there hadn't been a championship win, a minor championship win in a while, and to get over the line that day gave us the building block to go and kind of push Armagh in the semi-final and eventually beat them.
Yeah, and then the final then, so that was around that was around the time obviously Ulster finals senior level were being taken to Croke Park and all for the big day. So I'm sure when you said news of that there, like, it was something for, you know, 18 and 17 year old lads to look forward to.
Well, we knew, because I can remember CJ doing an interview with BBC at the end of the Armagh game, and Sean Burke was running about like a head case shooting, we're on the Croke Park. But we knew that was one of, you know, if you get over the line, that was a big thing to go to Croke. Not many can say they played in Croke Park, and the lead up just that game, everything about that whole week, was surreal. Training Croke Park the night before game, and even that, like, you're walking about thinking, my God, I'm standing in Croke Park. You know, you're getting your camera phone at the time out. You were,
2006. What was that phone like?
Probably a Nokia 3310. But it was surreal. And then the game itself was a wee bit disappointing, because it was probably one of the games throughout the year we didn't really shot ourselves in the foot. I think we started the game really well, and then we gave away a sloppy goal, and then kind of Danny Gall were just too, I mean, I can remember Michael Murphy giving an exhibition that day, and we just couldn't near him. We really couldn't. But it was, you know, the fact that we're playing in Croke Park and we got the Ulster final, it was great knowing that you're 2 weeks later, you're going to play in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. So it was nice that way.
Yeah, and I suppose that's kind of like bonus territory. Even, I'm sure, whenever you were going out at the start of the year, even playing that long into the season, probably, well, maybe I see what you're saying about the management. Maybe it was something they were targeting. But, like, even when you're thinking about that Ulster final, and then you have, the quarter final to look forward to, you know, after that, regardless, I suppose maybe just would have, winning would have depended on who you would have been playing against. But wasn't it me then that you played in the quarter final then for that?
Quarter final, and that's the one that got away, really. As much as the Ulster final was a great day out, but we knew we just weren't good enough to win it then. The Meath game is probably one where we were so disappointed we didn't win. I think we got a man sent off. I think Padraig Lowe got sent off from St. Paul's. He got sent off in the game. And we were down to 14 men. And we were like 5 6 behind with like 5 to go. And we clawed it back to level. Right. And then an extra time, like, it went the extra time, and we were able to bring a man back on. And I can remember we were in their faces telling them, we have got you here, like, and you know, just when you've got that bit of momentum, and just our legs, we didn't have the legs for it. But we've done so much the last kind of 20 minutes playing with 14 men that just kind of got the better of us. And that was it. That was the end of kind of what was, honestly, a truly unbelievable year in Gaelic football for us.
Yeah, and actually, like, from that squad, if you're looking at it, there's a good few now who are gone on and are playing senior football and or have done anyway. You know, I think obviously you mentioned CJ and Conor Murray. Is he involved in that squad too?
Mark Sweeney. Played in that squad. It was a squad. You know, Justin Grosier was in the squad
as well.
Some player. And then, as I say, Sean Burke, he's been about the Ambrose squad. But so it's, we had really good players, but just a good attitude. There was a good attitude about the squad. It was just a real hunger and will to win.
And then like after off the back of that, I suppose then obviously you were involved with, you know, with the soccer and that there, so that was first priority for you. But you were then back involved with the senior setup. Was it 2011 then you were kind of back involved? How did that come about for you?
To be honest, I actually went to the under 21 squad first. Okay. And it was kind of took a wee break from probably just for the football. Kind of there was 2 years of kind of just basically playing football, and then Seamus O'Prey actually ended up taking the under 21 job, and then I went back into that panel, played against Derry at Celtic Park. We were poor. We didn't have a great side, I must admit, and Derry were strong favourites to beat us, and they did. But yeah, it kind of stopped. Football obviously came first at times there, and then all of a sudden when I was at Dungannon, the Baker kind of got on to me and said that I want to come down. And the Baker's a tough, you know, the Baker, he's a tough man to say no to, I tell you. He's pretty convincing. And eventually, it's something I wanted to do. I never really wanted to leave the senior panel. And I know it was to come back and do Nets, you know, which was something just completely strange to me in Gaelic. I mean, I couldn't think anything worse than doing Nets in Gaelic, I really. But he talked a good game. Did the Baker, and I thought to myself, like, just let's go and have a go at this.
Yeah, speaking of doing Nets, then like, was it anything, like, had you done Nets consistently in Gaelic before that at all, or was it only just the odd time, or even at that actually? For your club, you were always outfield, weren't you?
Yeah, never ever done Nets in Gaelic, and it was only just, I think Paddy Bradley had mentioned to him that he was down watching Owen. And we played, I think I played against Owen at the time, and he was saying, look, you could see if he'd come in and do a job for you at in goal, because I think Sean McGreevy was probably coming to the end of his career, and I think there was a point of kind of, it's a difficult one with goalkeepers, because I think Sean was thinking that he had a wee bit more time left, whereas Liam basically was just wanting to get his kind of team across. So yeah, went and done it. And see, to be honest with you, it's a totally different game and doing Nets in soccer and Nets in Gaelic football. You're not really involved as much in Gaelic, and whereas in the soccer, you're still kind of communicating to your back four and stuff like that, and more often than not. Whereas in the Gaelic, it's very if you're winning or beating a team, it's, you know, it's a very lonely place back there. Trying to keep yourself motivated at times, you're, I mean, 70 or 80% of the game is just kickouts. That's just
not for you.
It's not for me at all. Like, but no, to be fair, getting about the panel again was something I always wanted to do, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, it probably would have been one of those things you would have regretted, like if you never actually gave it a go at that time, you know. Yeah, I suppose even just I never really thought that kind of adapting like Nets for Gaelic, obviously having basically never done it, you know, and like actually the skill, there are obviously some transferable skills, but actually, okay, maybe 2011 is a wee bit different compared to now when a keeper, you know, in Gaelic maybe is a wee bit different compared to them, but like it's actually, you are learning a new position there essentially.
It's just something that right from the word go, I knew it wasn't for me. I mean, I think the first game I played against Down in the National League, and it was couldn't have worked out any better for me, because I was so busy in the game, made loads of saves, and we ended up drawing like 12 each in the game. And then I was thinking, maybe this is all right. Then games after, honestly, we were just
all kickouts.
Well, it was just kickout after kickout. I just kind of got bored of it. I was sad to say that, but I did. I got bored more of the position rather than being on the panel.
Yeah, and especially if you're not fully enjoying it, then you trying to justify doing that and obviously playing soccer and going out basically every night of the week probably at that stage, was it?
It was near enough. I think I had a Friday off. I think Friday was my day off, and I had one night of the week where I was doing nothing, and I was going, right, this is was getting a bit much. But I think, like, I mean, it was all, it got to a point in games where I can remember, like, having a conversation with Kevin McGordy, and like, Kevin's a great fielder of the ball, and he used to say, kick it out to me. Or if it was ever going short, he'd go, well, just come and play. And I got to the point in games where I was actually going too much. I know it's the game's changed now, where goalkeepers are all out, but it felt like I was near enough playing as an outfield player, trying to play as an outfield player more instead of just concentrating on the goalkeeping side of things. So, look, it was difficult. At no point did I think to myself, I hate this or anything. Even though I was getting bored of the position, it was still enjoyable getting out and being in the underhill hand.
Yeah, and you play championship then that year, that 2011?
Yeah, I played Donegal. Donegal. That was just, again, I think in the whole game, the score to goal, the beat is quite handily, but it was scored a goal against us, and the rest was all kickouts. There was never a good game. It was great. Like, I loved, one thing I did love was the band at the start, walking around behind the band, and I was going to myself, geez, good, no, this is great. But it just, I got to the, after that game, I knew it wasn't for me, especially doing goals. It wasn't for me doing goals in Gaelic football. And I did have a conversation with Liam just after, saying, look, I think it's probably best in the kind of qualifiers you play big Chris Kerr, because it's just not for me. And I feel like Kerr was a longer kick and all out than me, whereas I wanted to always play the short, so I was involved. Kerr had like a 70, 80 yard kick that could have put it, football.
Yeah.
Like that, so I did go and say, Liam, look, it's probably best that you play Curzo, and I just take a wee step back from him.
Yeah, so then you did step away, but then you were back again then, so you're back and made an appearance or two?
Yeah, I was back as an outfield player.
Yeah.
Ross, Fitzy had kind of said to me, came and seen me, watched me a few times, and basically asked me, did I want to come on the panel? And again, I was more delighted with that rather than, when Liam came to speak to me about doing that, because I knew, like, I felt like I had the ability to play in the team and stuff like that. So, yeah, came back, played a few friendlies and played a few games, played Galway and played against Galway, and I think it was Meath, actually, was the other team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Galway, Meath, few games against them, and then championship came about, the week of championship. So basically what was it was the back door, the qualifier, because they'd get beat, and then he came and said to me, listen, would you come in and play? And I thought to myself, yeah, we had 3 weeks to build up to the qualifier. So went back, played like 3 or 4 games, and then the week before the game, it was a couple of days before, because I'd had it in my head. He told me so many times, I've been playing, and then eventually he says to me about that I wouldn't be starting the game. And it was such a difficult one, because Crusaders were going away on a pre-season tour at the time, mm-hmm. on the Saturday during the game, and I told the Crews I wouldn't be going. Mm-hmm. So it was just a difficult situation. I was going, like, I was losing out in wages to play. But yet I wasn't going to be, he basically told me, you're not going to be playing. You'll be on the bench, you may come on and be an impact sub. I just thought to myself, what am I doing? Like, I've given so much to be here. And it's not like I hadn't done well in the games, the friendly games. I thought to myself, I'd done well. But I think Mick McCann, I think it was Mick McCann that came back in that stage. And they were just looking to go back with a bit of kind of someone who's been there and done it, rather than, and this new guy on the block.
Yeah.
So, it was what it was. He ended up going on tour with Crusaders, and I think Limerick beat after him at St John's that year. So
yeah.
It was a difficult one to take.
But then again, as similar as before, like, you know, if you hadn't, at least, you know, if you hadn't gone back, like, who knows what it would have been, you know, like, you could have been thinking, like, you could have been playing, like, and then, you know, a few years now, you're thinking, and like, oh, maybe I should have went back that time, you know, kind of thing. So, at least no, it was that.
Done it. I really am. At least I, myself, that I went and played county football for Antrim as an outfield player.
Yeah.
Because the goalkeeping scenario just almost still gets me. I can't believe it.
Yeah. The with your club, the club then, obviously we were saying earlier there, so you'd always play outfield, mostly midfield, isn't that right, for the club? How's that whenever you're trying to, because you're still playing away for the club and all, aren't you? Like, you know, like, how's that with Crusaders? That's fine, obviously summertime mostly, but or is that is that good?
Listening, no, I'm not playing for club.
No, okay.
No, I'm not allowed. I'm basically not allowed to be playing. But to be honest with you, I just love it. People don't get it. They honestly get what your Gaelic club means. Yeah, I think these people just think it's an amateur sport. And there's no money involved, and they take it from that point of view. Because they're obviously brought up with the football. But I just keep playing. I can't get enough of Gaelic. It's just, I love it. I really do. You know, it's difficult with the Davids because we're probably, you know, we're not blessed with, you know, stars, and we've got to do what we've got to do with the players we've got. But one thing about this is we've got a good team spirit, and boys who'll work for each other, and it's always kind of stands you in good stead.
Yeah, but user now, like, I mean, looking at even this year, like in the intermediate championship, you know, user very much in a play, like. I think a few years ago, I mind playing against you, you know, in Division 3, whereas now you're comfortable intermediate level, you know, sort of. So there definitely is something kind of happening there in that kind of sense that you aren't, do you know what I mean? Like, there is definitely, you as a club, and then the facilities, obviously, that there that kind of comes with it too, that you've been, in recent years anyway, you've had some good form there.
Yeah, well, the facilities alone should fruits in years to come, they really will, because I think the community, and I see that, it's such a, you know, the facilities are brilliant, and it'll bring people to play in Gaelic. I actually took the team last year because so it was a difficult one. People were looking to step away, and not really, they didn't, no one really kind of put their name forward, and it kind of got to the point where it was like a kind of last chance saloon for someone inside the club to kind of get a bit of, basically a bit of respect from players. We weren't getting too much commitment. So I go on board, and to be fair, the commitment levels that were, you know, they did go up, and plenty of training, and it was our first kind of, we always go on kind of championship wins, and we hadn't won a championship game in so long, and to get two that year there was good, but it's just kind of a building block now. I've stepped away this year because I've got a new baby coming, 2 weeks, so I'm not going to really have much time, on my hands, but I'll still be playing, no doubt, and back the boys to health.
Or not playing officially.
Or not playing. Maybe Steve Baxter's listening.
Yeah, I don't know if he listens then, to be fair. No, but actually, like, even thinking in that there, like, this year, like, anybody I've spoken to about 2020, or sorry, I keep saying this year, 2020 season, they're saying about how they had everybody back, they hadn't seen in years, back training again when the lockdown was lifted and all. Was that similar for you, was it?
Really was, and lockdown, see, to be honest, it was the fittest we'd been as a team. We have a couple of PTs that play for us. Young Connor Toner was a young PT, and he would have took Zoom classes for us like 3 times a week, and they were tough. They really were tough, and the boys would have went out, would have like arranged on an app. There's an app, the Strava app. A wee group, and I would have put on things every Monday, like running sessions per week that boys had to, you know, get up to speed with and do, and had to post them. So it worked, it really did work, and we came back flying, and it's not like us, it really, it's not, we usually need a big pre-season to get back, and boys came back really well, and we kind of, the first game of the season, we give St. Paul's a good heading, so it was good, it was. And then all of a sudden the league stops again. So it's, you know, you play one game, league stops, and then you know, championship came around. But it was two wins from five. It was good from us. We were one kick of a ball away from being in the semi final. You know, championship, so it's
good. Yeah. No, and that's it. Yeah, in that group. You said Dunloy in your group, isn't that right? And obviously, oh, and Money Glass, actually.
Dunloy and Money Glass. Yeah. Very good. And they were too strong, really. Thought we might have, you know, would Money Glass in the last game, and if we'd have beat them, had a wee chance of getting to the semi final, but they were just too strong. Really were too strong for us.
Yeah. I've just have one last thing to ask you. How big is Armand Traore in real life?
Oh, he is massive. His legs, honestly. His legs are. And one thing about him, honestly, he smells fantastic as well.
Have you not heard about the baby oil on his arms or something? Have you not heard about that?
It was like 70 or 80 minutes in, and he was a corner, and he stood on me, and I was like, you smell amazing. But he looked at me and was kind of...
Did you say that to him?
I did. You smell amazing. He kind of looked at me as if you're a weird, weird man. But he just smelled the coconut. And his legs, honestly, his legs were honestly enormous. That's all. I think for about 2 weeks after, that's all hardly thought.
How was that experience? Because obviously that was 2019, so that was obviously pre no crowds and all, which I know some that are Irish league teams are getting to play Europe and all now, no crowds and that. But you've got the two legs, you've got the home game, you took the lead. Like how was that experience against them?
Unbelievable, really was unbelievable. And the thing about it was, I was captain when we were there, so I got to do a wee bit more than what the squad we've done. I had to go over meetings with kind of like Connor Cody, and you know, Nuno Spurs sent him and the manager. So got to do a couple of wee meetings the night before, a meeting the day of the game, then the meeting with the captains, just everything about it was surreal. The atmosphere, they hadn't been in Europe in like, I think it was like 38 years. So
yeah.
House, and it was just, it was surreal. It really was brilliant. And the thing about it was, I'd done really well in the game, but it was 94th minute, and then 93rd, 58, cross came in, dropped, make it 2-0. So it was, it just summed up football. Goalkeeper, you can be brilliant for 93, 4 minutes, but that one wee mistake can cost you. So, yeah, second leg, when we scored, that was just... I can remember Sean Ward running about. Sean Ward, Sarsfield's man. He was shouting, "We're going to win the Europa League." Trying to run about going, "Everyone calm down." And then 30 seconds later, Ryan Jimenez gets, you know, swivels and sticks.
I watched the highlights of it there earlier, actually. It was some finish by him. That turn, like how he, it was just 360 in no time.
Oh, that's it. The difference in levels was just, it was frightening.
All right. Well, here, look, I'll not take any more of your time, Sean. Thanks very much for that. I really appreciate it. And yeah, best of luck whenever the league resumes. You're not far off the top anyway at the minute, so there's title challenge underway.
Let's hope so.
All right. Cheers. Thanks very much, Sean.
Thanks, mate.